How to Determine Word Meaning by Clyde L. Pilkington, Jr. It is the glory of Elohim to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings to investigate a matter. Proverbs 25:2. Words mean things. Words carry weight and consequences. They aren't just sounds or letters, but representations of ideas, and influence how messages are received and interpreted, impacting understanding. They are important to help avoid ambiguity or misinformation. When we're trying to understand the meaning of words, there are a number of important elements that can help. Let's quickly go over these. Dictionaries. First, we can consult dictionaries and lexicons and see what kinds of definitions men have provided. In the case of Scripture, we have Hebrew and Greek dictionaries to look at. We also have English dictionaries as well, because we're looking for words in our language that best translate words from the original languages. As with all resources, we must always remember that they are authored by fallible men. They are not the final determination. Root words. A second related resource is etymology. To go beyond basic definitions, to identify the root word and its historical meaning. This is very important no matter if it's Hebrew, Greek, or English. Word families are built around these roots, parent words. Their offspring are generated by adding prefixes and suffixes or combining other words to form a new one, compound words. Word families are true in any language. So, the children of these parent words take on variant qualities, such as in changing a word from a noun to a verb, or from a verb to an adverb or an adjective, etc. All this can be important in understanding what part of speech a word performing and its relationship in the entire word family tree. Synonyms and antonyms. Then there are synonyms and antonyms. What Hebrew, Greek, and English words are similar as well as opposite in meaning. Determining these variants gives us broad shades of color, shades of meaning, and by being able to see variances, we can home in on more precise meanings of a particular word. Antonyms are about word opposites. This is meaningful because God is all about contrast. So, if we want to know what the word peace is, for example, it would be helpful to know what its opposite is, like war, strife, contention, and division. Then, all the sudden antonyms bring peace into better focus, and then we can know that we're not waging war, we're waging peace. How beautiful is that? Historical translations. Another line of understanding is the many ways that Hebrew and Greek words already have been translated into English in the past. We would be remiss ignoring centuries of English translations that have attempted to convey understanding of Hebrew and Greek words, placing their perceived equivalents into our language. So, translations, as biased as most may be at times, are certainly another great tool. Context. Then, there is the king of all resources for defining a word, by the context of its usage. We read the scriptures to identify the way that words are used in their many and various contexts. So, ultimately, it doesn't matter how many dictionaries and lexicon provide definitions. If they do not consistently match their contextual use, they are simply incorrect. When we attempt to insert word definitions obtained by all of these resources that we have already considered, and the meaning does not consistently match every context where the word appears, then we know that there is a problem, perhaps a strategic one, purposefully brought on by the adversary to distract, distort, confuse, and/or integrated error. Realization. Yet despite all for these wonderful resources, there is one that is essential above all others. Realization. Divine realization surpasses all. So, the quality of English words that are being used in any passage really doesn't matter. If God doesn't grant us realization, then we will be blinded and it will make no sense at all. Likewise, regardless of what poor words are used, if you have realization, they do not prevent understanding. All the study in the world cannot manufacture realization. But once the light are of divine realization has dawned, you can't not get it, and you can't unsee it. You have eyes to perceive behind the veil of tradition, behind the veil of translation, behind the veil of language. You can't miss it. You never see a particular truth in any other way. This is because realization is divine understanding beyond the limitation of words. And it's a gift. It's a divine grant from God. And how wonderful it is. Chris Carnahan has beautifully stated, "Human language cannot adequately express all that God is and all that God is doing. So, whether it's Hebrew, Greek, or English, at best we're dealing with inadequate words to fully express the true God and His magnificent ways. For how can the frailty of human words ever fully express who God is and what He is doing? Little wonder that in Ephesians, Paul uses words that are never used outside of Ephesians. And in Ephesians and Colossians together, he's using even more words that he never used, words that no one else in Scripture uses, not even himself in his earlier epistles. He even appears to be coining words by adding prefixes and suffixes to create new words. How imperative such unique words were in the writing of the revelation that God gave him. And despite even new words to capture attention and seek to impart recognition, the bottom line was that he knew full well that it would take divine realization for readers to grasp the magnitude of his revelation. So much so that in Ephesians 1:15-23, he paused the divine revelation and prayed for divine realization for his readers. Therefore, I also, on hearing of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus, and that for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be granting you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of Him, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, for you to perceive what is the expectation of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of His allotment among the saints, and what the transcendent greatness of His power for us who are believing, in accord with the operation of the might of His strength, which is operative in the Christ, rousing Him from among the dead and seating Him at His right hand in the super heavens, up over every sovereignty and authority and power and lordship, and every name that is named, not only in this eon, but also in that which is impending, and subjects all under His feet, and gives Him as head over all to the ecclesia, which is His body, the complement of the One, completing the all in all." From the Study Bible Project.